Hi and welcome back in the main stage. In this community we do talk a lot about peering. We often see presentations about mostly slightly bigger internet exchanges. We do see technical slides about existing very, very big peering fabrics. But if you have ever wondered what it takes to rebuild an IXP from scratch, Moritz is a senior network engineer, network architect, sorry, at Anexia by Day and Ionite. He's part of the operating team of Stuttgart Internet Exchange, and I'm happy to welcome Moritz.
Thank you, Tim. Me again. First of all, a DNOC matter. I need to apologize to both Tim and Wolfgang for not including them in the heralds. They're obviously as well heralds, and I just forgot it because I did my slides last minute. Sorry about this. And now on to rebuilding an IXP from scratch. So, as you've heard, I have many different hats. Today, or in this presentation, I'm wearing my Stuttgart Internet Exchange hat. Aside from that, as Tim mentioned, I'm a senior network architect at Anexia. I live in Munich, and before I joined Anexia, I worked for CDN, a data center and an internet service provider. And you can find me at Momorientis on the internet. So, a quick disclaimer here. My work at Stuttgart IX is voluntary. It's not encouraged or discouraged by any of my current or previous employers, and nor by DNOG EV. So just to set that clear, this is just Stuttgart IX and no one else. So yeah, what is Stuttgart IX? As Tim mentioned, we're not that big. We don't have terabits of bandwidth. We don't have terabits of connected capacity. We have 20 peers, 109 gigs of connected capacity. And lately, we peaked at 5.6 gigs, and we hope to peak at 6 gigs in the near future. If we ever make it to 10 gigs, Arnold Nipper has promised me a bottle of sparkling wine, so I'm very happy to improve the internet exchange. We're currently in 4 locations, although only one has a switch, the others are just connected via fiber, and we hope to connect one more in 2020. Legally, behind Stuttgart IX is the ISP Service EG, who runs builds and does the legal part for us. But in the end, the internet exchange is run by volunteers. Currently, 6 are actively working in it, and we have some more who would chip in if their hands needed. So why am I here, and why is this talk called Rebuilding an IXP from Scratch? Stuttgart IX was founded in 2005, so we're around for a while, by André Scholz and Winfried Haug. Winfried later, or someone, stepped away from the project, and André continued it. Sadly, in 2015, André passed away way too early, and we lost a lot of knowledge, enthusiasm, encouragement, both about our community and the infrastructure we're operating. A group of volunteers, most of them who are still around, kept the lights on, but updates never occurred. We lost quite some access. And we had never sent an invoice before, so even though there was a pricing agreed with all the members and they were happy to pay, we never sent an invoice, and so we didn't have any cash flow. So the only good thing is that we had an amazing community for the whole time, which met for beerings regularly. But in 2019, we asked ourselves and the community how we should move forward, because this internet exchange was actually serving a community and people were doing real business over it, so it cannot be run just sitting around there and by hoping everything breaks. But in the end, we wanted to move forward, and we had 4 options. Option one was to hand over the peers to one of the more established IXP operators and looking to expand in our metro. Option two was to rebuild everything, start invoicing, and stay independent, and to improve our setup once money accumulates. Option three was to find someone local who wants to make it their business and hand it over. And option four, leave it as it is and hope it doesn't break, was the last one. Maybe you could have thought of more, but these were the ones we came up with. So option four, as I mentioned, people are doing business over this exchange. Hoping it doesn't break is not viable. This is not an option for us. We then spoke to our community and asked them what they would think about giving the exchange over to some of the more established IXP operators. And they didn't like the idea. They wanted us to stay independent. They wanted us to do local business. But sadly, no one wanted to step up and do it. So we did it. We as a community did it, and ISP Service EG took the lead for the legal basis. And so, yeah, this is why this talk is called Rebuilding an IXP from Scratch. We basically have to start from scratch. what we had to leave behind. About some of those parts were sad. Some are quite good that we have to leave them behind. So our switch was a Force 10 E300. It's end of everything since ages and had backplane errors, and it drew a lot of power for the capacity connected. We had to leave behind our complete server infrastructure, which was severely outdated, undocumented, and to most parts we had no access. And we had to leave behind our route servers because access was not easily handleable. We could have gotten into them, but this wasn't possible at the time, and they were insecure. No RPKI, no real validation. For some parts, yes, but after all, insecure. So a few things we could take with us. And the first thing is probably the most important thing when you're starting from scratch. We had a community. We had 18 peers, and we could take them with us, and they stayed with us. If you're starting from scratch, don't give a shit about the technology. This is easily solvable. Getting people to connect your IXP is the hard part. So then we could keep our rack and a interesting cabling, to say it very politely. We could keep our IPv4 and IPv6 address space for the peering LAN. Again, if you're rebuilding from scratch, don't worry. Most routers, I'm not sure of all, but RIPE at least has some IP space, also IPv4, reserved for IXPs and will hand it out. And we could take along our established domains. But if you're starting from scratch, you don't have an established domain, so just go to fancyix.org and register it with your favorite domain registrar. So what were our goals? First and foremost, we wanted to provide a stable platform for peers to exchange traffic. We wanted to promote local peering and to promote our local community. To do so, we need a driving factor for this. I will go into more detail later. But for us, a goal was to get CDN caches, etc., or like content providers on the IXP, so it offers actually some value other than the only the networks connected. We wanted to be manners compliant, and this should be a goal for every network, not just only for our IXP. And so we wanted to ensure that our route servers, in this case, are secure and reliable. So let's go and get into it. Everything at an IXP obviously starts with the switch. We had a Cisco Nexus 5548UP lying around, and first and foremost, this is not an endorsement. This switch is really painful to automate. It has not really good layer 2 features to security filter the peering LAN, and you don't get SJ, NetFlow, or everything around. But as is with cameras, the best camera or the best switch is the one you have lying around. And we had one, or actually we have multiple, so we have spare parts and we can operate the IXP. We don't know yet where this will be going. We have talked to some vendors yet. We were still waiting for a bit more money to accumulate, but once we have it, there is the EuroIX wishlist, or IXP wishlist, available, which has a huge checklist on features. People who actually know what it takes to run an IX at scale have condensed together in this PDF. And so if you are asking yourself the question, have actually some budget available, go ahead, check that list, and evaluate your switch against this list. Saying this again later, but be very careful when choosing your switch. It's the most inflexible part of your IXP, so be sure to take some thought into it before you spend the money. So on the switch port configuration, as I said, we didn't have all the layer 2 security features at hand, but quite a lot actually were there. So we disable all LLDP, we disable all CDP, we make it an edge port, enable BPDU guard so we don't have layer 2 control protocols in our peering LAN. We log every status, we apply storm control, and we filter for the MAC addresses, so actually the IX hopefully is stable. On turnup, we place our peers in a quarantine VLAN and dump their port to ensure the site is configured correctly, so we can work a bit around the limited features of IXP or of our switch. Better. All right, so then we needed some servers. We acquired 2 new servers. This was our first investment. They're using a fairly recent AMD EPYC CPU. We're having some RAM in them and a SSD. We're using Proxmox to virtualize there, but again, this doesn't have to be Proxmox. It could KVM and libvirt would do it. Anything really that feels comfortable to you would do it. We're using Debian Stable on all VMs, not because it's the newest and fancy stuff, but because we know how to operate it. So this was a big plus to us. And we used SaltStack for everything, and actually I'm working on getting it in a state where I feel comfortable releasing it, so you can have all our Salt states to get your IXP started. This is not ready yet, but follow me on Twitter or follow the Stuttgart IX account on Twitter, and eventually we will release the Salt states. Next up is IXP Manager. IXP Manager is a software developed by INEX in Ireland, and they're doing an amazing job to manage basically everything you would need for an IXP. It's a single solution to document everything you have. You can get statistics out of it, you can get smoke ping out of it, and it will completely take away the part of creating an IXP a route server configuration and to make it secure. Adding RPKI is a measure of installing your preferred validator and clicking a button. Getting IRRDB filtering enabled is the only task you have to do is install BGPQ3 on the server and click the checkbox, and that's it, and that's security for free. Also, IXP Manager offers an API to almost everything. We use it to automate our DNS infrastructure, but really you can get almost everything out of the API. Then, as mentioned, route servers. We're using Bird V2. The config is generated offsetly, obviously, so that not both route servers fail at the same time every 30 minutes by IXP Manager. We are using Routinator 3000 as our RPKI validator on each server. We have upgraded to the latest version, which does the manifest validation correctly. We're using BirdWatcher, which provides a JSON API to our Looking Glass. You don't need to do this. It is necessary because we wanted another fancier Looking Glass. IXP Manager works without it. And we're using Bird Exporter from the DNOG community, by Daniel. Thank you very much for this, to monitor it with Prometheus. But again, you also don't need this part. For Looking Glass, we're using Alice. Alice is a project started by folks over at eKix and being continued developing by dKix right now, so you might be very familiar with this. We chose the Looking Glass because to us it felt better than the one provided by IXP Manager. It queries basically the BirdWatcher API every 5 minutes, or why we chose this setup is also not to have our route servers in the public internet, but rather only the Looking Glass, and the Looking Glass is using cache data. It's also great in assisting users to investigate why their prefixes are rejected. You can list communities there, and the users are basically instantly available, instantly able to see why their prefixes got rejected by a bird. It also offers an API for everything. So then monitoring. Please don't follow our way if you don't want to. There is an easier way. It's called Nagios, and it integrates easily with IXP Manager. But I don't like Nagios, and so I went the Prometheus way. We're using a lot of community exporters here, Node, Bird, Blackbox, Cisco, Nginx, SmokePing, and Routinator, to just get fancy dashboards. Website. So to get people connected to your IXP, you need some sort of website, and they should be able to look up the best details. Our website is not the best example for how you should do it. But from my point at least, it offers everything an IXP should have. A pricing list, and I know some of the bigger IXPs might disagree here, but I think having a fixed pricing list available on the website actually offers value and transparency. A list of connected peers, and maybe even the IXF JSON scheme. This is also a standard by the EuroIX. It also comes for free with IXP Manager. Traffic graphs, if you're into that, obviously every IXP needs to have the biggest and best traffic graph, so that's also free with IXP Manager. And for us as Germans, we initially had only a German website, but if you're talking to a CDN or a content provider, it helps to have an English website. Then peering DB is the last thing, or one of the last things that came in mind. As Theo mentioned before in his talk, when someone comes to a new country and wants to make a decision where they're going, they're hopefully going to peering DB. And we wanted to be listed there because it's free advertisement for us. If someone is in a data center we're in, we will be listed in a data center as available internet exchanges. And as we're in Stuttgart, and the only IXP will be the only one there. So hopefully someone coming to Stuttgart will know that we're there and hopefully connect. Also, it helps to keep that updated, especially for your route server ASN and your infrastructure ASN, because many people generate peering information directly from PeeringDB. And also encourage your peers to do the same. Then DNS, we set up PowerDNS with a MySQL backend to forward zones that are managed by hand, And our reverse zones, as mentioned earlier, are managed by the IXP Manager API. And so peers can basically say, I want my IP in the peering LAN to be, I don't know, bellevue.stuttgartix.de. And so they have a very nice traceroute in the end. So to bring this to a conclusion, IXP Manager is the MVP. This software will basically do everything for you. It has a lot of integrations. We're not using nearly all of them. But really, IXP Manager is the way to go. Education at an IXP is very important. DKIX and Wolfgang have done an amazing job in getting that right. DKIX has the DKIX Academy, and we wanted to take up on that. We're in a smaller region in Stuttgart in Germany, and most of our peers are just happy if their BGP setup works. They're happy to support the community, but they have never peered before. So Tim, Sebastian Neuner, and I held a four-hour-long workshop on, I think, a Friday. We had 20 participants there, and during that workshop, we removed 30-plus invalid prefix announcements from the DFC, and more to follow. Also, many of our peers never had RPKI enabled, or even IRDB filtering. IRDB filtering for smaller providers is actually really hard because they have no automation pipelines. And when you're running a two-man show, IRDB filtering is really the last of your measures. But at least telling those guys about RPKI and telling them how easy it is to set up and to get filters running helped a lot. And some of our peers even didn't have max prefix set up, and even having this improves routing security. Not by a lot, but a very tiny bit. So yeah, if you want our resources, they're not perfect, but I think we're happy to share them. But really, there are better ones there. You can go on manners.org. URIX has great documentations. The lovely folks over at NLNOC have a very good documentation, and there's way more. As mentioned, DKIX Academy is also a great resource. And I'm sure if you talk to Wolfgang, he will give you some pointers. So another conclusion. Building an IXP is really straightforward. Basically install IXP Manager, get a few VMs set up, connect everything together, read the good documentation, and you're good to go. We have a very great landscape of open source software we can rely on. Documentation is also very good. And if it's not, the community is very helpful, especially over at the Alice Looking Glass where we had some issues in the beginning. Think hard before you buy a switch. As mentioned, it's the most inflexible part of your IXP, and it will break stuff if it's broken. Also, something that encouraged to us, or that occurred to me, is that we need more prepackaged software and our repositories for that. Routinator has just released a repository, but at the time we were building this, we had to build it by hand. Obviously, also all the Prometheus exporters we have also needed to be built by hand, and we had to set up a Golang build chain, a Rust build chain, and this requires time and knowledge and is not really accessible. I don't know very much about Golang rather than go get something or Rust, or no, it's cargo install, whatever. So maybe as a hint to the community, we're having really, really great resources as open source products, but they're not very usable. And curl pipe sh is not something I'm willing to do, and I refuse to do. And again, route server security to the small IXPs running IXP Manager comes at no cost. I don't see any excuse not to enable IRDB filtering and RPKI on your IXP. And if you're not doing it, you're basically ignoring routing security and therefore the better parts of the internet. So if you are listening, are operating a small IXP, and have not enabled IRDB filtering on RPKI in your IXP Manager, please do so. So maybe a bit more of the outside. To our peers, when we've done a survey about this, CDNs and content providers are important. They currently reach them via transit, and for them a wave to Frankfurt, plus a rack there, plus a port at a big IXP is way too expensive. And from my point of view, remote peering by any of the IXP operators or bigger providers doesn't solve this issue, it just makes it worse. But let's not get into this discussion. So we've went ahead and talked to many of the bigger CDNs and content providers and offered them free co-location, free power, free ports, and connectivity for cache fill. We will receive one cache by a CDN in the near future, in the coming days, 50 gigs of capacity, so that will be nice. Two of them politely declined. One of them requires more traffic, roughly 10 gigs, and another CDN just doesn't have standalone solutions suited for IXPs. This will hopefully be resolved by them, and then they are happy to provide us with one. Seven sadly never answered. Some of them who are actually encouraging their people to reach out and connect. So yeah, we've also set up an AS112 node in order for people to have their RFC 1918 reverse queries collected somewhere. And when we turned it on, we had over 1,000 queries per second by some of the biggest research universities in Germany reaching our servers, and we're peaking at 4,000 queries per second. And this is all just unconfigured or badly configured resolvers who would otherwise bother the root name service. We're also looking to host root name servers, but sadly currently we don't have the financial abilities to do so. If someone is listening from a root name server provider and wants to get in touch, there will be contact details following. Our peers are also interested in cloud and NTP servers. For cloud, we're currently in communications with some partners. For NTP, we don't have a solution yet, but maybe in the end, we just need to buy an NTP appliance, but this costs money and we'd rather spend it on a new switch right now, but in the future, this might be interesting. So that's it for me. If you are somewhere in the Stuttgart area, please connect with us. We're happy to peer. If you have any questions, I'm sure Tim will relay them. And in the end, you can reach out to ops@stuttgart.ixd or mail@moritzfrenzel.de to reach me directly. Thank you. So Tim, do I have some questions?
Yes, Moritz, thank you very much for that great talk. I've summarized some questions, and I think the most important thing at the beginning is we need more pictures.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's so being a small IXP is not really that exciting. We don't have big routers. We have one switch. We have two servers. If you want to see a server, go to Google and look up Dell. It's not that exciting, sadly, yet. But once things get exciting, go over to our Twitter, and I'm happily posting them there.
Okay, Twitter. So pictures and dashboards or information on Twitter is always a good idea. How confident are you that the traffic graphs on the website are, you know, for real?
I'm very confident in them because they are generated by MRTG from IXP managers. The other source we have is Grafana, which is completely independent from MRTG and shows the same. I think people are asking this because there is a delta in our sometimes between in and out traffic, and this is due to actually congestion on one of our members' interfaces who is receiving more than 1 gig of traffic but doesn't have the means to upgrade to 10 gigs. So this is why there are sometimes deviations between in and out, and this is caused by traffic being dropped.
Okay, that's an interesting point. There were some two technical questions about no negotiation and if there's DTB on Nexus, but I think we could follow up with those technical questions on Twitter maybe or in the chat.
Yeah, just hit me up, but again, I'm not very happy about this Nexus. I'm a huge Junius fanboy and will hopefully get this resolved. If someone has great pointers, feel free.
Okay, so solving configuration problems by buying new hardware.
Hope so.
A very important question from Munich is, probably you know the guy, he wants a remote peering to Munich. What about that?
So our community has talked a lot about this, and we want to keep traffic local, so we will not offer remote peering to our peering LAN. If you want our peering LAN, you have to come to Stuttgart.
Okay, that's the same. Last question, or not a question, it's an offer. Wolfgang offered if Corona will be away enough that traveling is not the problem anymore. He offered to help with the BGB trainings in Stuttgart, and I think that's would be an outlook. What do you think? When will be the real life beerings, which makes our community so great, are possible in the future?
I'm not a virologist, and I don't play one on the internet or on TV, so I will never ever make an estimate about this. But if we can ever meet up personally again safely, we will have a beering in Stuttgart, and you're all obviously invited.
Perfect. Then thank you very much. Hopefully we can meet in real life in the near future.
And you seem really real to me, but I guess we're going
with the wider audience. And yeah, thank you for a great talk.
Thank you.